The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11.
Mitchell's Front Page indeed. Before that break, we had Bradley Cooper from A Star Is Born, Let the Old Ways Die. It's a beautiful song for a man who's known for his acting, not his singing, but he sings good. If everything's going beautifully well, Mitchell Dye is with us. Good morning.
Good morning, Rob. How are you?
It does work beautifully well. Thank you to the skills of Robert Eagles to make this all work. Lovely to hear your voice, mate. Another OB. You're making yourself quite famous doing these. You get along lots of different places around Geelong, which is great, taking the pulse out and about. So where do we find you this morning?
Well, this morning we're down here at the Geelong Museum of Motoring and Industry, which is in Hamlin Heights, just on Weymouth Street, which is just off Vines Road on the Western Heights campus, actually just next door to the much-loved Diversitat Training. So this is an amazing place that I didn't even know existed. There's some incredible cars in here, some great memorabilia. So as soon as I get off air at 11, I'm really looking forward to walking around. There's a big section devoted to the history of the Falcon, which is, of course, a car that was part of Geelong's life, made here in Geelong. And already a lot of enthusiastic people here, and apparently the doors will be opening and a lot of people will be coming through today. So it's a good spot to be.
Now, one of the regulars you have on your show every Monday and Tuesday is Will Hagen. He does a motoring segment. Do you know Will personally, or do you have a bit of a petrol head nature about you?
It's actually Toby Hagen.
Oh, Toby, yes.
So Will is, I think, the father, and they teamed up together to do a book, I think, and Toby's actually coming on this morning, so this is an appropriate location for an outside broadcast. And how it came about was that he just, Wheels magazine at the time sent us a media release, and we said, yeah, come on, and then we said, well, Toby, why don't we make it every fortnight? And he's been coming on the program for years now, talking about the latest issues in the world of motoring, and he'll be back on the program again today.
I find it fascinating, too. I'm not necessarily into cars as such, but I find his segments really interesting, just talking about the changes in the industry and different motors and cars and styles and European trends that are coming into Australia. It's fascinating. So good on you for doing that and having that. Another
well,
very
cars
interesting
make the world
segment.
Go round.
Well,
you know that.
There was
some news out this morning as well about Tesla, I heard, where apparently in one of their models they've had to stop the batteries charging past 80%, which has annoyed some of the owners because it's restricted the range. So I'll have to speak to him about that.
What else you got on the show today?
Andy Medic is going to be joining us first up, and he said he's coming down to the museum, so we'll be sitting across the table from him. He's been popping up everywhere on The Pulse over the last week. He was on Dennis's program on Wednesday, and he was on Leo's program, Food for Thought, on Friday. This is his regular spot once a month where he comes in. So I'm going to have to try and find a different angle, a few different things to ask him about. But we'll talk a little bit about this horse racing situation that was on the ABC a few weeks ago. It's been done to death, but the main thing I think I'll do is just run past him a few of the dissenting opinions from the people that said, oh, it's not really a big deal, just to get his response to that so that people can see both sides of the issue. So he's always good value.
Yeah, we had Andy on our breakfast show probably a couple of years ago, actually. It was in the early days of him promoting Animal Justice Party and his desire to get into Parliament. And I thought that particular day he may fall into the trap of being a one-trick pony with the Animal Justice Party. But I've got to say his exposure's been really good, and he's more than that. He's clearly got a good, strong social conscience across a broad range of views. And while he's definitely an Animal Justice Party member to first degree, he really has been doing a good job as a local politician, I feel.
Yeah, I think he takes the role very seriously. Whether you agree with his views or not, you can't deny that he's putting in the work more than some politicians do, and he makes an effort to represent his constituents. So I'd imagine if you were a constituent that had any sort of issue, you'd probably do well to get in touch with his office and have him lobbying for you on your behalf.
He's certainly not afraid to butt heads. He's had a few interesting exchanges. Another regular of yours, Bev MacArthur, and he had a few disagreements, but that's healthy in Parliament anyway, isn't it?
It is. Well, that's why we elect more than one person. It's good to have a diversity of views. But yes, at the Western Victoria Forum that we had before the election, they were sort of the sparring partners. And we also sat the candidates in that in alphabetical order. So it just so happened that Medic and MacArthur were sitting next to each other at the table.
The rest of the show today, what are we likely to hear?
We've got Jackie Matthews also coming down from the Sustainable Hour, and she'll be talking about the latest in sustainability. She'll be talking about a new deal with Geelong and Cleanaway, so hopefully this is an end to the recycling crisis. Also, she's keen to talk about the Prime Minister's comments in relation to whether or not companies should be boycotting certain projects. He came out and said, you know, that the companies are detrimental to the economy when they boycott projects such as Adani, so she's got some strong opinions about that. We'll speak to her. Also coming up today, Simon Ramsay, Member of Parliament, or former Member of Parliament for Western Victoria. He'll be joining us for a bit of a chat about all of the issues of the day. And also we'll be speaking to a few of the organisers and the people involved here at the Geelong Museum of Motoring and Industry. And I can say as we're speaking, Andy Maddox just walked in and he's having a look around all the classic cars in front of us. And then Monday Sport, Bucket is going to be coming down to join me from our position here. We'll be speaking to Travis Agg, who is the Cricket Operations Coordinator from the Geelong Cricket Club. And we'll also together be going through some of the issues of sport over the last couple of days.
And of course, Travis will probably be talking about the Pulse's live broadcast of the 2020 game from Cadinia Park on Wednesday night. We've been promoting that a bit this morning. I'm privileged to be heading up the commentary team, which include David Cook and Jake Hoosen from the Motawarri Cricket Club will be doing some special comments.
Yeah, that's super exciting. Yeah. So, yes, I'm going to give this gear that we're using now to do this broadcast over to you, and then you'll be off to do that on Wednesday night. And best of luck.
Yeah, thank you very much. We'll have a lot of
other... You have done outside broadcasts before, haven't
you? Yeah, I have done plenty of footy over the journey, so and other outside broadcasts with the Pulse. We've done Sports Fix at other locations, so should be able to handle that. But just the commentating of the cricket, it's a different sort of beast to football, so I'm quite excited about that as well. But really excited to see the Geelong Cricket Club up close and personal. They were runners-up in Premier Cricket last year. They performed well in the one-day and 2020 competition, so they will be doing the local scene proud, I'm sure, on Wednesday night, and we'll be covering that on the Pulse.
Yeah, one thing I notice about cricket is that the pace of the commentary seems a lot slower than football. With football, it's go, 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 and sometimes they struggle to get all the words out because the ball's moving so quickly, whereas with cricket, it's a more long-form coverage, isn't it?
Yes, I was just thinking the number of times in the location of the Geelong Cricket Ground to the South Geelong Railway Station, the old English commentators would have used the old adage of Smith comes in from the southern end as the 6:05 pulls out from the South Geelong Railway Station. That sort of thing is plugging holes all through commentary, and yeah, it'll be a good test for Cookie. Won't have any trouble because he can talk with a mouthful of marbles underwater, but I'm looking forward to the challenge.
Have you been thinking up a few little lines like that to use?
Not yet, but that'll probably come through the day, through Wednesday morning, I reckon, Mitch. Yeah.
And also just coming up tomorrow, we've got Elaine Carbines, the CEO of the G21, coming into the studio. We'll be back in Geelong. And also Lauren Hudson is going to be joining us from Barwon Legal, talking about family violence. So this is a very important issue in our society and very much a hidden problem. She's going to be talking about some of the legal information in relation to that. So people that are interested in that will definitely want to be listening to the program tomorrow.
It is a serious community issue, and I think it's starting to get the notice that it should. But again, we've got a lot of people who don't give it the regard that it does. So, congratulations to you for promoting that, and we should continue to promote it. It's a very serious social issue that gets underdone a bit. Mitch, we talked about Andy Medic and local impact on politics. Another fellow that you've had regularly on your show is Richard Marles, and he's in an interesting state now. He, being the deputy leader of his party and in the news a lot, he seems to be, the new leader, taking the party down a different line. It's an interesting time for the Australian Labor Party.
Well, it certainly is. I mean, after any election, win or lose, it's always an interesting time for a party, but now they're going through the motions of working out if they're going to change any of their policies and whether or not their policies were to blame for the election result. But one thing I've noticed about Richard is he seems to be popping up a lot more than Anthony Albanese, the leader of the party. I don't know if you've noticed that, but Richard seems to be doing a lot of the attacking of the government.
Yeah, that was the point I made, that that we're seeing him more and more as a Geelong representative. But, of course, the more he's doing that, the less he's representing Geelong. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets the balance of being a good local member and obviously forging his career for a potential future crack at the leadership of the party. But he's definitely doing a lot of media work.
Yeah, he's been in the cabinet. Well, I think he wasn't in the cabinet. He might have been in the ministry during the Rudd and Gillard governments. And then he, of course, moved to the shadow cabinet. So he's already had a bit of experience at trying to juggle both sides of the equation. But, yeah, we'll see how he goes. But I just don't remember seeing Anthony Albanese popping up as much when he was deputy leader of the opposition. I feel like Richard Miles has had a lot more of an active role in taking the fight up to the government. And that may be at the expense of Anthony Albanese being able to build his profile. I'm not sure.
Anthony Albanese is certainly working Twitter over. He's very busy on there, but don't see him in front of television or radio anywhere near as much as Richard Miles. So interesting to see if that's a tactic within the party or whether they're both off flying their own flag. I'm not quite sure what's going on.
Yeah, they've got to get their act together, but of course it's still a very long time before the next election campaign, and who knows, they might even go through a leadership change. There's already been questions about whether someone from the Labour left, like Anthony Albanese, can actually lead them to an election win. People have said, oh, the leader always needs to come from Labour right. I'm not sure, but we'll see how it plays out.
I'm not exactly sure how left and right works, but if Anthony Albanese is left in the Labour Party, they're a long way further right than they used to be. That's all also the matter. It's very odd the way it's going at the moment.
And he'll be joining us in a couple of weeks as well, Richard.
No, that's good stuff. Mitch, we really appreciate that. We're going to try and press a few buttons, get some news on, and then you'll be on air through till 11 o'clock. We appreciate your time, and good luck today.
Thank you very much, Rob. All the best, and we'll speak to you later.
Mitchell Dye, live from his outside broadcast point.
The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 to 11. Or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.